It's time for College Hoops. Three-point buzzer shots, Cinderella stories, all kinds of drama on the court. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today I'll be talking with basketball coaches from all three of Iowa State Universities. We'll start at the University of Iowa with Lisa Bluder. She's head coach of the women's team, off to a very strong start this season. Then it's off to Ames, where the mayor is back in office. Fred Hoiberg is the new head coach of the Cyclone Men. He is well known in the Cyclone Nation as a former star player from the early 90s. We'll talk to him about what it means to be back at Iowa State. And then later on, University of Northern Iowa's Ben Jacobson led the Panther Men to an amazing season last year. He'll be here live to talk about this year and to take your calls. Please join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, we're talking college basketball. Later this hour, I'll talk with Fred Hoiberg, who is, of course, the new head coach of the men's basketball team at Iowa State University. We'll also spend time with Panther coach Ben Jacobson, who took the University of Northern Iowa men's basketball team to the Sweet 16 last year. And we're going to start the hour at the University of Iowa with Lisa Bluder, head coach of the women's basketball team. She's in her 11th season at the University of Iowa and has taken the team to the NCAA tournament in the last three seasons. She was also named the Big Ten Coach of the Year for 2010. That's the third time she's received that honor. Coach Bluder, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure, Charity.
For the first time since 1997, the University of Iowa women's basketball team was in the AP Top 25 preseason poll to start the season. During the Big Ten Media Day, you said that you don't think that much of these preseason polls. They don't mean a whole lot. But what do you think it does say about the program and how you've built it?
Well, the reason it doesn't mean a lot is because, you know, obviously at the end of the year, that's when it's the most important, is those final rankings. But what it does mean, and I don't want to downplay it, because it does mean that your program is getting national respect. And we're being ranked right now in both the coaches poll and the AP writers poll. And that means basically that they noticed what we did last year, they enjoyed what we did last year, and they realized that we have everybody coming back from last year's team. And so, you know, optimism is very high and with our program right now, and we're enjoying that. And so I don't want to downplay it too much, but I certainly would rather be there at the end of the year.
Well, hopefully it'll be there as well. How much do you think it affects your team to have this kind of attention at the beginning of the season?
You know, it's different for us because we haven't been there all the time. And what that means, and we really started talking with it about that with our players this summer, because we anticipated that we are going now from not being able to sneak up on anybody. We're really going from being the hunters to the hunted and having that target on our back where, you know, people are gunning for us. They've got it circled on their calendar that they're playing the University of Iowa Hawkeyes, and they want to have that opportunity to put a feather in their cap by defeating a top 25 team. So I think how you approach every game is a little bit different, knowing that you're going to get everybody's best shot, and also that, you know, when you walk in the gym, you need to walk in a little differently. I think you need to walk in, you know, with a little bit of swagger. You need to have that when you walk into a gym, because that prestige of being a top team can actually mean some points for you, I believe, psychologically.
For people who haven't seen the women play, describe your style of play.
Well, we're a pretty up-tempo team. We like to score points. We've always been one of the higher-scoring teams in the Big Ten and ranked in the nation as far as free-throw percentage. We're an excellent free-throw team. We shoot a lot of threes, and we are ranked nationally in threes shot and threes made. And we're also ranked nationally in assists, and I think that one is probably the one I'm the most proud of, because it shows that my team has bought into the teamwork philosophy and the ability to pass the ball to the open person rather than take a contested shot yourself. So we're a very balanced basketball team. Defensively, we play primarily a player-to-player defense, and we are started out the season with three very, very good defensive games.
The Iowa women's team has had a couple of injuries this year. How have you dealt with that?
Well, unfortunately, we've become professionals at dealing with injuries. We've had more than our share over the last several years here at Iowa with dealing with injuries and going into very little depth on our team. You know, last year we were down to seven scholarship players at one time. You know, not a situation that you want to be in. But this year we kind of started in unfortunately, much the same situation. We had lost Sierra Taylor, our sophomore wing guard, very talented basketball player, and she tore an ACL 10 games into the season last year and lost that year, and now tore it again in practice this year, so we'll lose all of this year. And that was very unfortunate. And then we lost our backup point guard, Trisha Nesbitt, to plantar fasciitis in her foot, and it's a partially torn situation where we can't really, she needs, it sounds terrible, but it needs to tear all the way for it to probably get better. And she's out. We don't know when she'll be back because of, you know, we've had her to see every doctor, and really there's not much that we can do about this injury. We had a couple of minor ones, you know, sprained ankles, some back injuries, but those players will be back. The loss of those two players, though, are what we're looking at for most of the year.
On the court, what do you think your biggest weaknesses are right now?
Well, coming into this year, it was defense. We were ranked extremely high in offense and extremely low in defense. And so we really challenged our team this year with, okay, let's take care of this because we can't get a whole lot better offensively. We're already pretty darn good offensively. How can this team exceed what we did last year? And that's to improve in our weakness. And our weakness was defense last year. So I'm really, you know, very happy with our first three games out. We've held people to our defensive goals. And so I'm very excited that we've really bought into that. We're doing a much better job focusing on defense and on the rebounding.
How does it change your team dynamic to have so many returning players?
It's kind of interesting. Last year we were so young, and we spent so much time teaching the fundamentals of the game and what to expect and how to handle each road trip. And, you know, the freshmen don't know. They have no idea. So you spend so much time educating them. This year we only have one freshman and one junior college transfer, so we're a very veteran team. So it's quite opposite. This year we've had to spend maybe less time, you know, educating them on the basics of the game and more time really, really developing our game. And I think that we're farther ahead this year than we were last year at this time because of that experience factor. The players already know what's expected. They know how to approach every practice, how to approach every game, how to approach a road trip. So I just think that, you know, having a veteran team has got some benefits, and we're certainly enjoying them this year.
Let's take a look ahead to next year because we just finished with the recruiting season. What's ahead for you?
Well, I think good things are in store for Iowa women's basketball. We signed five players in the early signing period, basically one at every position on the court. And our recruiting class has been ranked in one poll, seventh best in the country, and another poll was ranked ninth best in the country.
Whenever I talk with a big women's basketball fan, I always find that they get a little bit defensive, and they say, well, it really is exciting. It's really fun to watch. Do you think that women's basketball is getting any more respect than it has had historically?
It is, and you see it around the nation. You know, our Final Fours are sold out well in advance. You know, when you go play at the University of Minnesota and Purdue and Michigan State and Ohio State, they're having incredible basketball crowds for women's basketball. But at Iowa, we haven't seen that trend, and that's really it's disturbing to us because around the country, the excitement level has grown and grown and grown, but it really hasn't happened for us here in Iowa City, and that's very disappointing for us.
So make the case for fans in southeastern Iowa, in eastern Iowa, why should they come see a women's basketball game?
Well, because, you know, John Wooden, the famous basketball coach from UCLA, said that women play the game the way it was meant to be played. They play it with fundamentals. It's team. It's not one-on-one. It's not above the rim, which I know some people really enjoy playing above the rim, but it's more of a game where you're going to really see good, pure shooting and people setting screens and cutting and passing and good teamwork. And, you know, I also think that people haven't seen maybe women's basketball for the last, you know, if they haven't seen a game for 15 years, the game has changed. It's much quicker now. The players are much stronger. They're more talented than they were 15 to 20 years ago. So if you haven't seen a women's basketball game for a long time, I think it's an opportunity for you to maybe turn on the TV and find a women's game or come over to Carver Hawkeye Arena because the game has changed. You know, the other thing I'd like to point out, too, is that you know, the women on our team are incredible role models. So they're the type of kids you want to cheer for, and they're the type of kids that you want to have as role models for your young, aspiring athletes in your house.
Now, of course, the one women's college basketball team that is never lacking for attention is at the University of Connecticut, the Huskies, who just won their 80th straight game, and they have dominated women's basketball for a long time. Do you think that having that kind of winning streak and having that kind of domination in the sport is good for the sport because it draws attention, or does it show a problem with recruiting?
You know, I do think it shows a little bit of a problem with recruiting. I think the best teams in the country get all the television exposure because there are fewer women's games on national television. And I think that just puts such an opportunity for them to be able to recruit and continue recruiting the great players because they are getting that national exposure where the rest of us are very rarely on national television. So I think it's easier for them. I think it's a problem recruiting, but at the same time, it is an amazing feat what they're doing there. You know, the rest of us just need to catch up. We need to work harder to catch up.
Is it hard to, I know that we lost the top recruit from Iowa this year to Connecticut.
Right.
Is it hard to compete when Connecticut wants them?
You know, it is very hard to compete when Connecticut wants one. And I talked to a coach this summer when I was out recruiting. He had recruited against UConn several times. And I said, you know, how have you fared and how have you done it? And he goes, well, I've never won, so I don't know how to do it. And it's just, you know, it's basically they do have their pick of the crop, so to speak. And so, again, I think it's unfortunate. Not many people say no to the top few programs in the country. And it'll be good for women's basketball, I think, when some of those players do decide to go other places.
The women's basketball coach at Iowa State University, Bill Fenley, recently won his 500th career victory. Is there a different culture among coaches? I mean, that's an extraordinary achievement no matter what. But is there a different culture among coaches of women's basketball because you fly under the radar a little bit?
You know, I think there used to be, but I don't think it's there anymore. I think, you know, it used to be that you'd have your longtime coaches that would be, you know, coaching at a university 20, 25 years. They'd kind of start there and maybe retire there. Those days are over now because the money has gotten better. And so the competition has gotten better and more intense. And now we're facing one of the same things that the men's coaches are facing, and that is, you know, you lose and you're gone. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. When you are getting a good salary, you are expected to produce, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, when women weren't making much money, nobody really cared. And so, no, there wasn't much competition for the jobs, and there wasn't much pressure on them to win either.
Your first season at the University of Iowa was 2000-2001. In that season, your team won 21 games. The year before, the Iowa women had won only 9 games, so you really turned that program around. The Iowa men's team, many people know, has been struggling lately. They have a new coach, Fran McCaffrey. Do you have any advice for him about turning the program around?
Well, I don't think Fran needs any advice. I think he's an incredible men's basketball coach, and he will no doubt have this program turned around in no time.
Well, Coach Bluder, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Charity. I appreciate it.
Lisa Bluder is the coach of the University of Iowa women's team. Today we're talking about college basketball. Coming up in just a moment, I'll be talking with Fred Hoiberg, the new coach of the men's Cyclone team. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, we are talking college basketball. In about 15 minutes, University of Northern Iowa men's coach Ben Jacobson will be here. And Panther fans, you will have an opportunity to call in with your questions. But right now, we turn to the Cyclones. The men's basketball team is off to a great start this season. They are 4-0 right now, and they celebrated a victory over Creighton on Sunday. It was a very close game.
6 seconds to go, and one more free throw coming for Antoine Young. Game on the line. Free throw attempt. Right through. We're tied. Iowa State will inbound with 1.6 seconds. It'll be Christofferson to throw it in. He fires a baseball pass to Vanderbeeken. Jamie fires from 40 feet. Good! Good! He made it! A 40-footer for Jamie Vanderbeeken!
That victory was particularly sweet because Creighton is coached by Greg McDermott, the former head coach of the Cyclones. I talked to the new coach, Fred Hoiberg, last week before that game, so I didn't have a chance to ask him about that final shot. This is Fred Hoiberg's first coaching job. And it may sound risky for a Big 12 university to hire a head basketball coach who has never coached before, but Cyclone fans everywhere rejoiced when it was announced that he got the job. Hoiberg played for the Cyclones from 1991 to 1995, the Hilton Magic years. But even before that, his reputation in Ames was well established. He grew up in Ames. He was a star on the basketball court and the football field. He was an excellent student and had and has a reputation as being a heck of a nice guy. After college, he played in the NBA, 4 years in Indiana, 4 years in Chicago, 2 in Minnesota. Then when a medical condition forced him to retire, he continued working for the Timberwolves. He did not hesitate for a moment, the legend goes, when he got the opportunity to come back to Ames. Coach Hoiberg, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for that great introduction.
You are back at Iowa State, and it is not an overstatement. I went to Iowa State, so I know this. It's not an overstatement to say that you're the most popular basketball player in Cyclone history. And I'm sure it's wonderful to be back among people that love you that much, but a lot of people believe that you can do no wrong. Does that create a lot of pressure for you?
I think there's a lot of pressure anytime you're involved in coaching. I'm very excited about this opportunity. You know, when Jamie Pollard called me, when Greg McDermott had been offered the job at Creighton, I told him that first night he called. I said, just let me know what I got to do, and we'll make it happen. And he came up to my house that next day and had a great interview with him, and he offered me the job right there in the spot. So, you know, it is a dream job for me. I've always considered Ames my home. And to be back here and to be able to coach in front of all the people that gave me such great support in the years where I was growing up, it's just phenomenal. So, I'm really excited to be here. And to answer your question, yeah, there is quite a bit of pressure. You know, I want to do well. I've got a passion for Iowa State basketball. I always have, and I always will. And, I want to make this program proud.
When you were at Iowa State, for the first 3 years you were playing there, you were playing for Johnny Orr, another Cyclone legend. What did you learn from playing for Johnny?
Oh, I learned a lot from Johnny, and I've talked to him quite a bit since I got this job. Was able to play golf with him a few times when he was here. He's now down in Florida for the winter, but the big thing he talked to me about was putting in my philosophies from day one. You know, regardless if you have the personnel or not to do it, and to trust and believe in it. You know, he took over this program back in 1982. And first year he won 9 basketball games, but he stuck to his guns and put in his philosophy from day one. And when he got the players in here that he felt could run that system, he took off, and was the most successful coach in the program's history. And he just he's always given me great advice from the first day that I talked to him on the phone. And he was recruiting me, to come in here and start as a freshman. He's a mentor, and he's somebody that I'll definitely lean on throughout this process.
In reading interviews with you, you talk about wanting to play a fast game, a running game with high scores, and that sounds just like Coach Orr to me. Have you patterned a lot of your coaching behaviors after him?
I have, and as far as the style that I want to play, it is what the fans want to see. You know, they don't want to see a team walking the ball at the floor and trying to grind out a 50-45 win. They want to see up-tempo. They want to see the players running. They want to see dunks and alley-oops. They want to see an exciting brand of basketball, and that's what we're trying to bring. We've really stressed it to our guys, and, it takes a lot of practice. You can't just say we're going to be a running team and throw the ball out there and you're going to run up and down the floor. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and a big-time commitment to be able to play that style of basketball for 40 minutes a game. And, our guys have really done a great job buying into that system. And, we're going to keep playing it. You know, it's been very successful for us this early part of the season, going all the way back to our first day of practice on October 15th. And, if guys keep playing the way they are and getting the ball up the floor and playing unselfishly, then we have a chance to have a solid year.
You also played for Tim Floyd, both at Iowa State and with Chicago Bulls. And you've worked for a lot of other great coaches over the years. Have you talked to a lot of them to try to mine their experience?
I have. I talked to Coach Floyd probably once a week, and he's a guy that I'll lean on. Obviously, he's got a ton of experience in this business and has had a lot of success. And the number one thing he told me, and I talked to Gar Forman a lot. Gar was an assistant for Tim. He's now the general manager of the Chicago Bulls, and I talked to him a lot as well, just about what you need to do to be successful in college basketball. The number one thing that everybody told me is, you need to have the right staff in place, the right staff that has good chemistry, that doesn't have any hidden agendas, that's all on the same page, And we have assembled a very good staff here. T.J. Otzelberger from our previous staff, from Coach McDermott's staff, and Jeff Rutter both stayed on board. And then Bobby Lutz came in, and, you know, Bobby was a head coach at University of Charlotte for 12 years, where he had almost four. He was one win away from 400. And, you know, he's a big-time coach, and he's really helped me through this early part of my coaching career.
You'd come in following some uncertainty, maybe that's an understatement, in the Big 12. There have been a lot of changes in the conference. What do the changes in the Big 12 mean to the Cyclones right now?
Well, I think it was the best conference last year. You know, you look at the talent in this league, and it had the most first round draft picks last year, and that includes the SEC, who had five on one team. And, you know, it's a big time conference as far as talent is concerned. And, you know, it's only going to get better now. And, you know, the schedule will get tougher. We added two conference games next year after Colorado and Nebraska will leave the conference. And it's going to make it a very difficult conference to play in. But, you know, it's what you want. You want to play against the best, and you want to compete against the best. And hopefully you prepare yourself for postseason, you know, where we will become a regular contributor to that.
I've read some people saying that the Cyclones have to become relevant really fast because of the changes in the conference to secure a future.
Yeah, and I think we've done a pretty good job so far of getting some talent in here. You know, we've done a lot with transfers, with Chris Allen from Michigan State, Royce White from Minnesota, Chris Babb from Penn State, and Anthony Booker from Southern Illinois. Those are four pretty big-time players that are sitting out for us this year that will make an immediate impact for us next year. So, you know, those guys, it started with them as far as getting talent. You have to have talent to compete in this league, and, you know, there's no other way around it. If you don't have the talent and the athletes, then, you know, you're not going to be successful in this conference. So, you know, I wanted to go out there and get players that had proven it, and, you know, I think we did a good job getting those four guys in. We've also added a very good first recruiting class. We got in one scouting service the number one point guard in New York City that will come to us next year. We got a big-time junior college player in Tyrus McGee that will come in, who's got experience. And we got two other guys as freshmen that could come in here and have a chance to play. So, you know, I'm really excited about where the future's headed.
You mentioned Royce White, and he transferred from Minnesota. Your hope was that he could play this year, but the NCAA ruled that he could not, and you're appealing that ruling. What do you think your chances are?
Hard to say. I mean, you know, there is still a chance. I mean, that's the way this process works. The waiver was denied initially, but we have appealed it, and, you know, hopefully it'll go in our favor. But, you know, regardless of what happens, you know, Royce is in it for the long haul, and you know, he's done a really good job since he's been here. He's doing a great job in the classroom. You know, he's been great off the floor. And he's really working hard in practice. So, you know, Royce has been great to deal with since he's been here.
Well, we've been talking a lot about next year. And, of course, you are building a program, but you've got a season to play right now, which has started off very well. After getting the team on the floor, what do you think your strengths are this season?
Well, I really like this group of guys. It's a fun group to coach. You know, again, they play very unselfish basketball. They're willing to make the extra pass. And, you know, it's fun to coach guys that buy into your system. You know, we're talking about playing fast, which we've done a pretty good job with, and, you know, we're going to continue to do so. You know, Jake Anderson is a guy that transferred in from Northern Illinois, who's just been phenomenal for us. You know, with his leadership abilities, and he's really set the tone for us defensively as far as guarding the other team's best player, and has really taken pride in that role. You know, Deontay Garrett, I think, will have a breakout year. He's already had two very good games. Jamie Vanderbeeken at 6'11 can really space the floor. You know, and then Scott Christopherson's a guy that can really shoot it. And then we've got a pretty good mix of freshmen that have played their roles and understand what their roles are. And those guys will only continue to get better. So, yeah, I do like this group. I'm excited about it. People have not given us much chance. But if we continue to play and perform the way we've done so far, then, you know, I think we have a chance to surprise some people.
What do you think your weaknesses are?
Oh, I think, depth obviously is a big weakness. You know, it is what it is. I mean, we've got nine available players right now. And, you know, it's tough to compete every night, especially with foul trouble, which is going to happen, you know, and some other things that could potentially happen. But, you know, I tell you one thing it doesn't do. It's not going to have many guys complaining about playing time, because we're going to play pretty much everybody this year. You know, rebounding, I think, is something that that will be something we have to continue to harp on these guys. Right now, Jake Anderson at 6'2" is our best rebounder. He's averaging about 10 a game, and you know, you just try to get everybody to buy in, especially with the guards, that they need to go back in there and help out in the boards, which they've done a pretty good job at. Sometimes they'll stand out there and spectate a little bit, but you know, if we're going to compete, we gotta find a way to be tough and get in there and battle on the boards.
Back when you were playing for the Cyclones, the catchphrase was Hilton Magic. And a lot of people are saying the magic is back at Hilton. When you think back about the seasons that you played, what do you think made that magic?
Well, I think, you know, style play was one way that that magic was created. You know, guys going out there and leaving it all on the floor. And, you know, I think the fans knew if they came and watched the team play, they were going to get a good effort by the team. And, you know, that's something that we talk to these guys about every day is, you know, if we go out there and compete, you know, then the fans are going to be behind us. If we go out there and don't give energy, then, you know, there's no reason for them to. So, you know, we're going to go out there and play hard. You know, win or lose, we want that crowd to be proud of the effort that they put in every single day we take the floor. And, you know, it's Hilton Magic is, you know, it's special. It's Hilton Coliseum is the only place where Larry Brown, coach of Kansas, won a national championship, never won a road Big Eight game. Danny Manning never won in Hilton Coliseum. So, you know, it's a special place, a special arena. Larry Brown told me that it was the hardest arena that he'd ever coached in. And that's the atmosphere we're trying to get back here. You know, we still have a ways to go with that. And, you know, hopefully we'll get there soon.
I talked to a longtime season ticket holder, and she said that this year it seems like the music is louder. Have you done some things to try to change the atmosphere to amp it up a little bit?
Oh boy, I don't know about that. I personally have not. You know, once I get out there, I'm pretty focused, and you know, I have not noticed that myself.
We were talking about the recent signing season, and a lot of people in Iowa had their eyes on a couple of really high-profile high school players, and Harrison Barnes of Ames is one of them. He's going to be going to North Carolina. Kia Stokes, a female player from Cedar Rapids, she's going to be going to Connecticut. And, of course, a lot of people hate to see kids that grew up here and played ball here go away to other schools. That's always going to happen. But what do you think a college coach can do to keep kids in Iowa?
I just think you got to do everything you can to, excuse me, to sell your program, and you know we're gonna sell everything that this program has to offer, and you know it's playing in front of the most passionate, some of the most passionate fans in America. It's you know the fact that I've been in the NBA. You know all these kids that come in here have dreams and aspirations of playing at the ultimate level, and the fact that I've been there 10 years as a player and 5 years as a front office executive. You know, I know what it takes, and I've got a lot of friends in that business, and, you know, I think I can help some of these kids out, and, you know, it's been good for recruiting, and we're going to continue to do that, and, you know, hopefully we will. There's some very good players in the state of Iowa, you know, coming out, and, you know, hopefully we can have a chance of getting some of them.
When you graduated from high school, you were heavily recruited in both basketball and football. Why did you stay in Ames?
It was just, you know, it was a place for me. I visited two other schools for basketball, and it was Stanford and Arizona. You know, Stanford was very appealing because of the academic piece, and, you know, my dad being an educator at Iowa State, he was a professor, and my mom being an elementary school teacher, you know, they thought that would be a very good choice for me if I decided to leave home. And then Arizona with Lute Olson, you know, it was a beautiful place, a great visit. You know, 70 degrees in January was pretty appealing. But, you know, I got a lot of letters and from fans. You know, I got a poster board when I was in Arizona that said 1,000 Wildcat fans that wanted me to go to Arizona, and they all signed it. And then I got the same thing at a football game at Jack Trice Stadium when I was on my official visit at Iowa State. And, you know, out of the 1,000 people, I probably knew 800 of them. So, you know, the support that I got growing up here, you know, made it a pretty easy choice for me.
Do you think the fact that you grew up in Ames and that you played for Iowa State helps you bring something different to coaching at Iowa State?
You know, I don't know that. You know, my main objective here is to you know is to bring the passion back to Iowa State basketball, and you know that's it's something that I think we've got off to a pretty good start, and you know hopefully we can continue to keep it going, and you know we just. we need to, you know, get that energy in the building back. And, you know, I want to make the people of, you know, the Cyclone fans all over the country proud of the basketball program again. And, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes. You know, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of effort, but, you know, we're all on board in this, and I've got a staff that's going to do everything it takes to get us back in the national level. And, you know, if we can do that, then, you know, that we're doing our job, and, you know, hopefully, like I talked about earlier, the future's bright for this program.
You are a father of four, and is your oldest 13?
Yes, I have a 13-year-old daughter.
How do your kids, especially a teenager, how do they feel about being back in Ames, Iowa?
Well, it's, you know, people out there that have teenage daughters, I think, no, it's it's a tough age, especially, you know, when you move away from your close circle of friends that you have. And, you know, she was pretty devastated when we told her the news that we were moving away from that. You know, she's going into eighth grade and, you know, had a really good group of girls that she hung out with. So, you know, you can only imagine how difficult that is. And people that have made that move understand it. The one place I think we could have moved that made it somewhat manageable on her part was Ames. I mean, she's always considered Ames a home. You know, I used to come back and do my basketball camp every year. I have two sets of grandparents here, and, you know, they've adjusted beautifully. You know, that's the one thing you worry most about in a move is how your kids will adjust. And all four of my kids have really adjusted well.
Good. When you were playing in college, you earned the nickname the mayor because somebody wrote you in an Ames mayoral election. When you're done coaching the Cyclones, have you considered running for mayor?
Absolutely not.
Just checking.
Yeah.
All right.
That will not happen.
Thanks so much for your time today.
Okay, thank you.
Fred Hoiberg is the head coach of the Iowa State University men's Cyclone team. Coming up in just a moment, Ben Jacobson, the UNI men's head coach, will be with us. And you're welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. I like to pick and roll. I like to give and go. Because it's basketball. Mr. Coach's go. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today we're talking about college basketball. With me right now is Ben Jacobson. He's in his fifth year as head coach of the men's team at the University of Northern Iowa. And, of course, even non-sports fans know about the incredible seasons that the Panthers had last year. Jacobson led the Panthers to their first ever appearance in the NCAA Sweet 16 with an unbelievable victory over number one seed Kansas. They ended the season with a record of 30-5. Coach Jacobson, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, you bet.
If you have any questions for the coach, you can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And after last season, of course, people have really high expectations for Panther basketball this season. How do you deal with those expectations?
Well, that's, that's part of the challenge and certainly a lot of the fun. For me and my coaching staff and for our players is having expectations for our program. And I think it's something that our guys look forward to. I think it's something that, for our program, we want to view those as something to attack and work hard to achieve, to those expectation levels. And certainly, my expectations for our players and for our program are maybe different than what people on the outside of our program just looking at our basketball team. I expect our guys to work really hard. I expect our guys to go to class. I expect our guys to represent our university the right way. And those expectations are the same every year. But then when you look at the season we had last year, expectations from, winning in terms of, when you're playing games and those expectations certainly change and that's good. We should have expectations to be good and to win basketball games. And that's the fun part of the challenge.
Three of your key players were seniors last year. They have moved on, but you do have two starters back this year. Tell me about your team this year.
We're a younger basketball team. We've got, in addition to having four four guys that are playing for really the first time in our program, a couple guys that redshirted last year, and then Austin Peel, who's from here in Cedar Falls, who's been in our program for a couple years, but is now in the rotation for the first time, and then a true freshman in Chip Rank. We've got seven returners in addition to those four relatively newcomers, and the seven returners are going to be in very different roles than they were a year ago, and that's kind of the process we're going through right now with our basketball team. We've played three games to this point, and we lost a close one this past Saturday at the buzzer. Wisconsin-Milwaukee hit a shot with 2 seconds on the clock, and so we're going through the process of putting our team together this year, and I think you go through that each year, the first 6 weeks, maybe even up to 2 months, where you're working to put together your team, and the guys are working to figure out what role they're going to play and how we best how they best help the basketball team. This year, because we're younger, and because the guys returning are going to be in, they're going to be in some different roles. So we're just going through that process right now with our group.
What do you think your real strengths are at this point in the season?
We've got an experienced backcourt with our point guard back, who's been a 2-year starter for us, and now in his senior year, in his third year as a starter for us. And Kajou has really had a very good career and very instrumental in our success the past two seasons. And he's going to be counted on heavily this year as our senior point guard. And Johnny Moran's already been a 2-year starter. He's just a junior, but in his third year in the starting lineup already. And Kerwin Dunham is a senior. Anthony James and Mark Sonnen both played last year. And so that gives us five players in our backcourt that have experience. And I think guys that we can count on even early in the season. And then up front, Lucas O'Rear is a senior and a guy that has been the sixth man of the year in our league the last two seasons and is now in the starting lineup and provides a lot of leadership and adds a lot to the team chemistry. He's a real team guy so we've got some older guys we can count on. We've got an experienced backcourt, and now, as I said, it's just going through that process of getting guys in the right places so they can be successful.
What do you think your weaknesses are?
I think the inexperience. We're younger up front. And I talked about our backcourt having some experience, and up front after your Lucas O'Rear, who I mentioned is a senior. Jake Cook is a sophomore. Austin Peel is a sophomore. Chip Rank is a freshman, and those three players just don't have a lot of game minutes under their belt. So we've got some inexperience up front. We like those guys, and we feel like those guys are going to be able to find a role and be guys that can really help our basketball team this year. But they're inexperienced, and that it takes time. You've got to play games, and you've got to gain experience before you're playing at a high level. So we'll go through that process with them.
You're welcome to join our conversation with any questions you might have for Coach Ben Jacobson. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we did get a question through Facebook, and I think this speaks again to the expectations that people have for the Panthers this season. Mindy in Cedar Falls wants to know, she says, I want to know how UNI is going to start to establish themselves in the paint. So far, our bigs aren't making themselves known.
Yeah, that question I think speaks to when you asked about the strengths of our team and maybe the areas where we're going to need to see some improvement, if you will. And those guys at the power forward position and at the center position don't have a lot of game experience at this time. And our basketball team this year is different than it was the last 2 years when we had pretty overwhelming size with Jordan Eagleseder and Adam Cook and then some of the guys that are in our program still that were coming off the bench at that time. So we've got a different basketball team. So in addition to those players gaining valuable game experience and I think as they do, they'll continue to be more productive. And at the same time, from a coaching staff standpoint, you know, we are obviously, you know, of course, evaluating our team at practice and evaluating our team in the three games that we've played to this point, and working hard to do the things that are going to put them in the best positions to have success. And so we're going through that process right now, and I think, again, as those guys play and as they gain experience, that they'll continue to play better.
A few minutes ago, I was talking to Coach Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State about his style of play. He likes to have a high-scoring game, a lot of running, focus on the offense. You have a different style of play. Can you describe your style of play for us?
You know, we've really worked hard at the defensive end of the floor, and it felt like that's an area where you can position yourself to win basketball games every night that you walk out there, because and we feel like you've got a lot of control at that end of the floor, whether it's you know, your positioning or your rotations, your blockouts. There's a number of things at the defensive end of the floor that we've worked hard at, and it's been very good to us. You know, I really feel like the last 2 years, the opportunity that or the position that we put ourselves in to win championships each of the last 2 years, with the regular season and in the conference tournament, and the opportunity we had to play in the NCAA tournament, you know, our defense has really fueled the success that we've had the last year and a half, and that you know, it's something we're working hard at again this year. And you know, offensively, we work hard to find the best opportunities, and you know, we like to do some things in transition and push the basketball, and if we don't have something that's there early or a good opportunity for us, our guys have done a very good job of playing together, and their teamwork has been very good, and they've worked hard to find the best shot that we can each possession. And you know, so our games have been a little bit lower scoring, probably than maybe even I'd like at times. But mostly a result of our defense being very good, and because our defense has been very good, there aren't as many possessions in a basketball game, as many opportunities to score, simply because there's fewer possessions, and that's a direct result of having a defense that's been sound and been good, and I think our guys take a lot of pride in that end of the floor, and so we'll keep working at that end, and see if that can help us, you know, get back to a point where we're in position to make a run at a conference championship.
I grew up in Cedar Falls, and when I think back, even though I was in Cedar Falls, everybody who was talking about college basketball was talking about the Cyclones or the Hawkeyes back then. People weren't paying that much attention to Panther basketball, and you and I just wasn't expected to be a major contender. You've been here, this is your fifth season. What have you done to build such an exceptional program at a small school?
You know, I think a couple things had to happen, and I'm in my fifth year as our head coach now, but got to town would be now my 10th season here on staff. I was an assistant coach for 5 years prior to getting the head job, and so I've been directly involved with our program now for, again, into my 10th year, and a couple of things that you have to have, and really that started to change 9 years ago. You know, we've been able to recruit very good student athletes from the state of Iowa. That's been a big part of our program getting better, is to go into the high schools in the state and you know, through our evaluation, you know, find the guys that we feel like are high-level players, some of the best players in the state of Iowa. At the same time, guys that are, you know, committed academically, and guys that really care about winning, and the things that you need to have individually to help build a program that can have long-term success. And that was one of the major things that we felt like when we got here 9 years ago that had to change, was our ability to recruit Iowa high school players. And we've been fortunate to have some very good ones, and that's helped us. And then the other thing that has to come with it is support, whether that be support on campus, so that we can do things from a recruiting, a scheduling, you know, some key areas in our program that we have to be able to do to put ourselves in position to, you know, to play the right team so we can get in position for an at-large bid and to do the things from a recruiting standpoint so we can attract some of the quality student athletes that we've been able to get from, you know, not just the state of Iowa, but really the upper Midwest. And then also the support from our community and our student body, the Cedar Valley, the atmosphere at our games is much different now. And obviously playing in the McLeod Center and that building opening up 5 years ago has had a big hand in the things that I've mentioned, and a real impact on recruiting and impact on the atmosphere. I think we've now won 16 straight home games, and a lot of that is because of our student body and our fans that come out and fill the place and make it a hard place for an opponent to play in. So, we're in a much different position, if you will, today than we were 9 years ago. And a lot of that is because of the support that we've got on campus, the support that we've got in the community. And that helps you recruit the quality student athletes you need to play at a high level.
When you go out and you talk to recruits, what do you tell them about you and I?
It's great people on campus, great people in the community. And I think that's the for me, for my coaching staff and our guys that are here, that one is an easy one for us to go out and sell the recruits. And when they do come on campus, whether it's an unofficial visit for half a day with their family or their official visit that they can take, where they spend the better part of 2 days on campus, that's one of the things that that almost all of them seem to mention is, wow, there's a lot of really nice people on campus. You know, I was walking on campus, or I was in the bookstore, or I was just in town, and I saw a lot of U and I stuff, and I bumped into somebody that was talking about U and I athletics. That type of support and the type of people that again are on campus and in this community is an easy one to sell, and it's great to have young guys and their families on campus because they can feel that. And then academically, we've got a lot to offer. We've got a lot to sell from an academic standpoint, and because of that, we've been able to attract some quality student athletes. And our team GPA was just above a 3.0 when we started the fall semester, and so our guys have done a very good job in the classroom, but a lot of that is because we've been able to attract guys that it's important to them how they do academically. So when they're looking at schools, our reputation from an academic standpoint is really really helped us recruit quality kids.
And we have just exited the recruiting season this year. Can you give me a brief preview of next year?
Yeah, we signed five players a couple weeks ago on signing date. We've got a point guard coming from Texas that's had a very good career and a young guy that we're looking forward to getting up here. And then we've got two in-state players. Matt Bohannon from Linmar High School is a 6'3 shooting guard, and then Seth Tuttle from up in West Fork. The two in-state players that we've got. And then we've got two forwards, Marvin Singleton from Minneapolis and Javon Lyle from Kansas City. So we were able to sign five players.
All right. Well, Coach Jacobson, thank you so much for your time today.
Yep, thank you.
Ben Jacobson is in his fifth year as head coach of the men's team at the University of Northern Iowa. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Alex Hoyer and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. We had production assistance today from Mitchell Schmidt. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa available online at any time, iowapublicradio.org. And you can get in touch with us anytime. We love to hear your comments, your questions, suggestions for things you'd like to hear on the show. And our email address is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up tomorrow on the show, a conversation about the culture of African-American sororities and writing about hip-hop. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.